Views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Alrighty, welcome back. Great news about John Drumpf and leaving Wells Fargo. Let's hope he goes from there to prison. Anyway, welcome back to the Drive Time. My guests in the studio are John and Vince from the Hamilton Township Citizens Coalition. I hope I've said that correctly. They'll correct me, of course, if I'm wrong. And Rob Washburn, who's here for his weekly installment of Consider This Live. Before we get to the conversation, it is harvest time for the farmers up in Hamilton Township. So our theme today will be harvest. So here is Neil Young and Harvest. And coming right back after that will be John and Vince to talk about the Hamilton Township Citizens Coalitions. What's going on with them? They just had their annual AGM, if you will. So we'll talk about that and so much more. You're listening to The Drive Time right here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. By the way, this is our radiothon. If you love what we're doing and we love you, send us your money.
The promise of a man.
All righty. Hey, welcome back. Welcome to the Drive Time. That was Neil Young, of course, and Harvest. Yeah. And so for all the farmers out there working right now, working into late hours of the evening till the sun goes down and even beyond, bringing in the, well, right now they're harvesting beans. Am I correct on that one, gentlemen?
Soybeans, yeah.
That's the big one right now. Welcome to the show. We have Vince and John from the Hamilton Township Citizens Coalition. That is correct, am I? So is it the Citizens, Citizens Coalition of Hamilton Township? I don't know the phrasing, folks.
Citizens Coalition.
I just got them here. They're here, and they're talking about what's going on. So you guys just had your, was it your first AGM? Your first annual meeting, or was that?
Yes, that's correct.
How'd that go?
Very well. It was very well attended. We had probably over 100 tickets sold, and each individual paid a certain amount for their breakfast, and $3 of that went automatically to the food bank.
Nice. Good stuff. Yeah. So the food bank.
Or actually Community Works of Hamilton Township.
So at the AGM, did you what sort of business did you have on the agenda for the annual meeting?
Well, we just gave an update of what occurred in the past year, and we also brought forward new initiatives that we're going to be speaking on as well.
And do you elect a new board at the AGM, or does it just roll over who's currently?
At that time, it just rolled over currently.
Yeah, so who's can you run us down the board for us so that everybody's caught up?
I'm the chair, John Davison, and the vice chair is Larry Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have directors Donna Cole, mm-hmm. Kathy Houston, and Vince McGovern, and Gwen Barnes.
Okay.
So, Vince, you're not on the executive anymore?
I'm on the executive, yes.
Okay. Okay. So I didn't hear your name. I thought you got dropped. Quietly. Nobody told them about it.
I said Vince McGovern.
You did say
I'm
Vince,
sure I said Vince McGovern.
I must have just missed that somehow. Sitting right here, missed it entirely.
He just hit me in the back of the head with his hand, so I think I know that's
So it was a good meeting. Is that at the meeting where people come up with concerns, issues that they want to talk about, maybe some stuff this year that they haven't looked at before? Take us through it, if you could.
Actually, it was our annual review because we can't really call it a general meeting yet. But basically, we talked about 15 or 17 initiatives that we accomplished over the last year. The biggest one, of course, is the videotaping in the council chambers of the regular council meetings and the committee of a whole committee of adjustment meetings. And that took us 12 months of hard work to get the mayor and council convinced that it's important. They created a policy for that particular and procedure for that. They're also going to be archiving the minutes for, I believe it's 30 days. We'd like them to do it a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, for those two-parent families who are out working every day to be able to come home now and spend an hour or two watching the highlights of the council meeting, is a great thing.
You got a guy doing voiceover for you? You have like
no.
A highlight reel guy?
No.
Just throwing it out there. Yeah. Might make it more interesting.
You're welcome to give the township a call.
Oh, and the mayor fends it off. Yeah, exactly. So what was the pushback, though? Was there pushback, or was it just it took that long for council to figure out how they were going to do it? Like, were they saying, we don't really want to do it, or did they say, okay, you know what, we can do this, but it's going to take this, and this? Like,
well, there was a combination of things, I think. You know, the general lack of, you know, the willingness by the council members to be put on the spot to during a recording.
Mm-hmm.
The cost, obviously. We brought forth a bunch of initiatives that showed them that, you know, other taxpayer associations had, I think Port Hope, for example, got all their equipment for $500. So we presented that to them, or gave them that idea. I think the ultimate cost was around $5,000, John?
I believe that's what their comments were, around $5,000.
Yeah. So they're recording and archiving as we speak. So that's a good thing.
And now, are they just broadcasting that on broadband? Is it going out on the web? Or is there some connection with, say, TV Kochiko, for instance? Is Kochiko TV picking up these broadcasts at any chance?
Not that we're aware of. It's all going. It's all being stored on the website, the Hamilton Township of Hamilton website,
okay,
which is a great thing.
And so folks can download that and put it
correct.
To their own cloud if they want to keep a copy of it,
sure.
or what have you. Okay.
Sure.
Because you're saying after 30 days, it's gone, right?
Yeah, after 30 days, it's gone, yeah. At this point.
Mm-hmm.
We're pushing for more, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, excuse my ignorance, but how many council meetings do they have a month?
Just one regular council meeting.
Right.
And a committee of whole and committee adjustment.
Okay, so are all three of those meetings then being recorded, or just the committee of the whole? Yeah.
So do you guys have any plans to download those and post them up on your website to, as a sort of a longer-term archive?
I don't know if you can actually get an app for that or not, Rob. We'd like to do that for a longer period of time, because I know that their policy and procedure basically says they keep it for X number of days, and then it's gone from there, and the paper copy then goes into their so-called vault and mm-hmm. arts archive then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that could be something you guys could do, say, by opening a cloud account or something, perhaps.
Yeah, we've done, I believe, on our we've done some highlights on a newsletter.
Right.
And that's probably our plan at this point, is to highlight, you know, any significant and let our folks know through our email subscription membership, let them know to, you know, check out XYZ comments at the 2.03 minute mark or whatever.
Right.
To you know, help speed up the process, because sure. you know, some of these council meetings are quite long.
Sure. Now, I also know, I'm aware that the Hamilton Township Council has brought forward the outline for a strategic plan for a long-term planning 2020, and I'm wondering if you've had a chance to look at it and give us some comments on what you may have found.
Yes, I attended the Committee of the Whole meeting yesterday, and I actually downloaded this onto my paper copy. It's a 2020 plan that the CAO, Arthur Anderson, brought forward to council, and council had input as well. This is something that's like an overview of what mm-hmm. they plan for the future and what they hope to accomplish in the future, but it's going to cost a lot of money for a lot of these projects that they're looking at and bringing forward. So I think it's a well-written document, but it's just putting these into place that's going to be the most important part of the aspect of what they were actually doing for the public.
Would you be kind enough to give us maybe a couple of highlights that you noticed in your first blush of the report?
The number one issue here, they're going to bring forward a 2013 water rate study. They've already brought that forward, and it's on their website. The water operation plans for Camborne and Creighton Heights, prepare and submit a document to council. Now, the problem there that I have is, and Councillor Kane, I believe it was, brought to the Arthur Anderson's attention, that there should be public meetings before they bring this document forward to council.
Mm-hmm.
They gave, through the whole process, what they've done, they've given a six-month reprieve for the CUPE union to come up with their cost-saving measures for council to review. That review is going to be done, should have been done actually in October this month, or it should have been done in August, September.
Mm-hmm.
But they put that over probably until late November, early December.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably make a decision in January. Councillor Kane pushed the CAO twice and asked him if there'd be open public meetings. The CAO would not commit himself till the second time around to say yes, there would be. Now, my first reaction to that was, when you didn't answer, was, well, why can't you answer that question? If you're going to be open and transparent and have this document, why not be open with the public? Have your public meetings with the water rate people and tell them what's going on. They haven't done that yet. They haven't. No documentation has gone out to the public whatsoever, even though they can go on the website and read it. Would you know unless somebody directed you to that?
So what would, if you were running the meetings, what would be the kinds of things that you would be expecting to hear from the public, or some of the concerns that might be articulated at something like this?
Well, I think the first thing they'd probably say is it's been a very poor process. The very first thing back in June of 2015, when they went out for an RFP, mm-hmm. they should have automatically had the citizens who were on the water in Camborne, Creighton Heights, and Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
They should have had the notification go to them that this is what we're looking at. We're looking at changing the particular people that look after your water, and your rates may increase or they may decrease. All depends what the contract we come up with. They should know that. They're mm-hmm. the ones that use the water. They're the ones that pay. I don't pay because I'm not on municipal water.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is Vince. But they do pay for it. They should be the very frontline people that you deal with.
Mm-hmm. And so far, there has not been, if I understand it's correct, there has not been, over that time period, a public meeting about this?
No, there's not. Since June 2015, there's been no public meetings whatsoever.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty alarming, though, when you consider that we've had a number of concerns raised. I mean, right now we're talking about accessing municipal water for residents who are accessing it, right? And we're talking about those costs. And, I mean, we've seen recently in the news, you know, major water takers coming and how that affects smaller communities. And you're telling me that this community has had no discussion on this particular issue for well over a year.
That's correct.
Who on council is responsible for that, and why have they been allowed to essentially kick the ball down the road?
Well, that's council and the mayor and the CAO.
There's no particular councilor that's responsible. There's no portfolio holder, for instance.
No, the mayor takes full responsibility for council. It's between him and the CAO to make the decisions, uh-huh. and whoever drops the ball has dropped it. And they dropped it in June of 2015 when they first presented the RFP to go out and have somebody else do the water issue. That's mm-hmm. after the firing of Doug Thompson. So you've got to realize that in the process, when Doug was released from his duties, and then they go out and do an RFP, the public should have been notified that this is what we're
Absolutely.
Doing.
Absolutely. Well, especially in light of the fact that the federal government and even both our federal member and our provincial member have just announced major infrastructure funding available from the federal and provincial governments at no charge to residential ratepayers. This is money that the federal government is putting forward for these very things, infrastructure, especially as it pertains to fresh water and access to water. So why is it that no one is doing anything? I mean, obviously, you guys are excited about it. But who on council is even willing to discuss this? Have they even been in contact with our local federal and provincial representatives, to the best of your knowledge, to do something about this?
Well, the infrastructure money that's available that's out there for these projects,
yeah.
there are some that are moving forward. Mm-hmm. I think Vinska made a comment. We attended a meeting down in Gore's Landing the other day, and it was mentioned about the refurbation of the, or sorry, they're going to revamp the dock down there.
Mm-hmm.
They've had an underwater diver go down and take pictures, and I guess the underpinning of the major dock down there is washing out, so therefore they have to do something with that. There's other infrastructure money available for other projects, but this is a very important one that we come up with actually Harwood,
mm-hmm.
the Friends of Harwood, and Gore's Landing, because these are two major areas of the township that's utilized by a lot of people from outside our community.
Exactly.
So it's something that we have looked forward to. And there was a meeting the other night, and it didn't go very well.
That was the meeting in Gore's Landing.
Right.
So a bunch of local, and I underlined the word local residents, taxpayers, ratepayers, had some issues and ongoing issues with, the bylaw enforcement down there, the poor parking. They're having to navigate around boat trailers and pickup trucks and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fire route parking down there, which is a real big problem. So these issues came forward at this meeting,
mm-hmm.
but the meeting was structured in a way by the CAO, unfortunately, that, my opinion, I attended the meeting as well. It wasn't really a diplomatic type.
It was an information session.
It wasn't even that. It was more of this is the way it's going to happen.
Yeah,
and it's unfortunate. But to me, if you have an opportunity as staff and council and mayor, to get in front of concerned citizens,
mm-hmm.
you need to let them, air their concerns. And, that really...
Well, there needs to be some response to some... It needs to be a conversation.
Absolutely.
Is what needs to happen.
Absolutely.
I mean, it sounds to me, and I wasn't there, listeners, so you'll have to just take it from what it sounds to you like, I'm sure, at home, that they came, they made their presentation, they said this is what's going on, or this isn't what's going on, however they played it out. Didn't take really any questions, didn't really have conversation. Thanks for your attendance. There's coffee and treats out in the foyer. That sounds like to me pretty much what happened. Maybe sans the coffee and treats. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of our conversation with our representatives of the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township. It's not the coalition, it's the Citizens Council. And a reminder, too, that you're listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. This is our radiothon. If you are enjoying what we're doing, and we enjoy doing it for you each and every week, as Rob and I do and have done for, almost 3 years, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
3 years of just bringing it to you like it is, straight from the hip. As always, make a donation. Give us a call at 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391. If you'd like to be part of our conversation as well, please feel free to give us a call. We'll answer the phone. You'll be on the air. That's unfortunately how we're doing it today. My producer is not with me in the studio this afternoon. But we'll take a break. When we come back, more of our conversation right here on Canada's only holistic political chat.
When looking for automotive sales or service, longevity and reputation are always at the forefront. Hi, this is Bud Loria. In the market for a newer used vehicle or simply looking for a place to service your current vehicle? My team and I want to show you how enjoyable the car buying experience can be. Heavy on quality, easy on fuel, light on price. Is it time for a change? Think smart. Think Loria Hyundai. Family owned and operated since 1984, south side of the 401 in Port Hope, or online at loria.ca.
As the days get shorter and the weather grows colder, are you prepared for the unexpected while you're on the road? Emergencies affect everyone, but for individuals requiring assistance while traveling in a motor vehicle, the emergency can be much greater. Be prepared, not scared. Everyone can take steps to being better prepared while traveling along our roadways. For information on how to build an emergency car kit, visit the County of Northumberland's website at northumberlandcounty.ca or follow them on Facebook. Remember, your preparedness helps us all. This message from the Community Emergency Managers of Northumberland County.
Northumberland 89.7 is hosting our third annual Radiothon fundraiser, October 11th to 15th. Our goal this year is to raise $15,000. We have some amazing items in our silent auction for you to bid on. Here's just one of them.
Silent Auction Package 30 will appeal to the sweet tooth in all of us. We have two gift certificates for $25 for Queenie's Bake Shop in downtown Port Hope beside the Ganaraska River, a favorite spot for coffee and whatever treat appeals. Second, there is a $50 gift card for Mercury Chocolates on John Street in Port Hope, a fine selection of specialty chocolates. Finally, a $50 gift certificate for the long-established Holton Flowers in downtown Port Hope. We thank Queenie's Bake Shop, Holton Flowers, and Mercury Chocolates for donating these items. If you want this item, place your bid on package number 30. Minimum bid, $20.
To bid on this and to see all the silent auction items, go to northumberland897.ca and click on the link. Help Northumberland 897 to continue to be truly local radio.
And welcome back to our show right here. Our guests in the studio are John and Vince from the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township. And, of course, Rob Washburn for our weekly installment of Consider This. During the break, now, Vince, you said let's go back to that presentation. It wasn't a conversation. What was it really?
I think that the biggest thing that we're seeing here right now currently is in some way it's a positive thing that they're actually going out into the community mm-hmm. and asking for some input. But how they did it, I think, was a little disconcerting. And the other thing is comments were made by one resident that this was all talked about 4 years ago, 2012. And actually, the person pulled up a piece of paper, which I was unaware of, and it talked about recommendations based on the same conversation. So here we are 4 years later having the same conversation. So what really comes to mind for me is action. We need action. People right now want to see change. Even if it's little change, let's make some change. Let's do good for our ratepayers.
Well, and when you say action, we should remind the staff and the elected representatives that when we want action, we don't want a rehash of what happened 4 years ago, as clearly was exampled by the presentation earlier in Gore's Landing. Because the reality is, if all you're going to do is call us for a meeting so you could rehash what you said 4 years ago and actually not do anything at all, then the real hue and cry comes from ratepayers saying, well, my rates have gone up in 4 years, as they have, right? Mm-hmm. What the hell am I getting for my increase in my rates? Am I getting the same conversation from 4 years ago? And if that's the case, why are we even electing anybody? What's the point at that point?
Exactly. But I have a question. Is there any sort of rationale? I mean, could this have been a budget consideration that there was no funding to take action on some of these items? I mean, we're hearing that people are concerned, and that all sounds legitimate. But are there explanations behind the scene that might shed some light on this?
Well, certainly, Kelly Searson, the fire chief, he was somehow or another designated to investigate this whole thing because this parking problem mm-hmm. is in a fire route. Mm-hmm. So he came back to the table with quite a substantial report on mm-hmm. What's going on. He spent a lot of time down there on the long weekends, that sort mm-hmm. of thing. His feedback was really good. And there are some solutions mm-hmm. were brought to the table, i.e. increasing the enforcement, increasing the fines mm-hmm. for parking in a fire, that sort of thing.
Yep.
So, again, positive things. But I think what residents in Hamilton Township really, really want to see is action. Action in the sense that this is what we're going to do. Here's the timeline. I asked the CEO during the conversation, when is this all going to take place?
But hasn't there been, in terms of municipal staffing, hasn't there been a lot of change at the top over the last 4 years? I mean, it's been rather tumultuous down there for some time in terms of municipal leadership. The CAO's position for a long time was sort of different people at different times, and there's been sort of a lot of things shifting. Is that a possible explanation as to why some of this stuff is falling through the cracks?
Well, if you change the captain on a ship, does the ship still run aground? No, hopefully not. He's taken over the watch from the previous captain, mm-hmm. and he's got all the notes, and mm-hmm. he's going to make his decisions to make sure that the ship's driving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to management, as far as I'm concerned, and making sure that we have open, transparent conversation about the issues, current issues. The reason this meeting took place was so many people were calling in and emailing mm-hmm. about the concerns of the activity. So let's hope that this is a start of the snowball rolling forward mm-hmm. in a positive fashion.
All righty. Well, we do have a caller, and it's our good friend from Port Hope, Ed White, who also lives in Hamilton Township. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
All right. I'm just wondering, when Port Hope had the big police thing, there was a problem with it was the police contract, the OPP contract, wasn't laid out as to kind of exactly what they were going to do. Now, you guys are talking about problems that they had, like in Bewdley, with trucks parked and, blocking off fire routes, blocking off roads and stuff like that. Now, is that a problem, a bylaw problem that needs bylaw enforcement, or is that a problem that's not covered by the OPP contract? I think in Bewdley they had to hire a separate company to get that straightened out.
So how did that work in Hamilton Township is the question, right?
Yeah, is this an OPP thing or is this a bylaw thing that you have bylaw enforcement people that cover it? Like, what's the story there? Because this parking thing around the gazebo and whatnot has been going on for a long time.
That's mm-hmm. right. I think you're totally correct, Ed, what you're saying. It is the fact that there is bylaw enforcement out there. The OPP do not do bylaws.
Right.
That's not their mandate as the OPP. Municipal policing do it, but the OPP do not. So therefore, they had to hire a separate firm to come in and actually be sworn as bylaw enforcement officers to come in and do the bylaws of Hamilton Township, which is the parking issues around Bewdley, Gore's Landing, and Harwood.
Now, are they taking care of the problem, or has it been dropped again?
Well... They have to drive a distance to get to between each stop, which is as well as I do, it is quite a distance. So therefore, a person could park there for 5 minutes, and by the time they get back, the vehicle's gone. But let's say it could boggle the whole system up because nobody can park there, or it's a handicap zone, or they're parked in the fire route zone on the dock in Bewdley. And if they don't get back in time, that person's there and they're gone before the ticket can be issued. But basically, if the fire truck pulls in and has to fill up because there's a fire somewhere, then the vehicle's sitting there. And by the time the bylaw enforcement officer gets there or the tow truck gets there, the vehicle's probably gone.
Right.
The other issue, Ed, and great question, by the way, is the fact that the bylaw enforcement folks that have been hired, I believe, are only Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4:30.
Okay.
And the biggest problem is, the long weekend.
Yeah, no kidding.
When the boys show up with their 42-foot cigar boats and their F-350s, nothing against Fords, but, that's when the problem really starts.
Well, I have another kind of question. Have they brought up too much about, like, the speeding on side roads and stuff like that? Like, the OPP don't seem very cooperative with monitoring some of the smaller roads. Like, they go fishing on Dale Road and 28 Highway and on Ontario Street. But I'm just wondering, do they have contracts? Is there ways of getting them to, Beaver Meadow Road, Menifee Road, the different roads like that?
Well, I'm a Harwood Road resident, Ed, and the speed at which the folks travel by my house, and I'm about 100 feet off the main center of the road, is quite alarming.
I hope
there's some OPP folks out there listening, because there's no bones about it. The speed limit is 80 kilometers an hour at the top end. It drops down on the curves to 60 and 40,
mm-hmm.
and there's absolutely no reason why folks need to travel that fast. If they leave 5 minutes earlier to get to work on time in Coburg, well, then so be it. But As far as the actual contract goes with the OPPI, I defer that to John. John would know a little bit more about that.
I think what Ed, what's happening here, the OPP have been contracted on a basic bottom line contract.
Right.
There's no flowers, there's no fruit there.
Nope.
If you want that, you're going to pay extra for it. If you do have concerns about speeding, they do have the OPP that will be out there on the roads. There's one designated officer per municipality in Northumberland County.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if you want to have that done, contact somebody from the Police Services Board. The chair is Dick Maloney, and you have two council members on there, which is Gary Woods and Bill Kane. So you contact those people and express your views and what's going on. Maybe they can actually bring that up to the whoever's attending from the OPP office that day, and maybe they can do something about it.
Is part of the concern for why this isn't actually being done, Ed, the cost? Do you think that's a valid...
I don't know. This is why I'm asking, because I went through the thing here in Port Hope with the policing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was exactly what was mentioned. Basic...
no frills, they
call
it.
No frills, yep. Nothing. Not open at certain times, one
mm-hmm.
car, you know, basic policing. Now, sometimes, if you want, you know, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but, oh, okay, so you want an extra guy to cover speeding? Well, that's going to cost you more. If you want, you know, this thing, that's going to cost you more. I'm just wondering how they're dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, in my opinion, it's a pay-as-you-go type of
yep.
Operation. If there's you know, three or four folks emailing in and phoning and calling and saying, hey, look, slow these guys down on the Beaver Meadow between 18 and Harwood Road, then, you know, hopefully someone's going to be out there.
Yeah, I would hope so, too.
Yeah. Speed signs are another big thing. Yeah. I noticed that myself in the last little while, that quite a few signs are getting popped up. Those neon flashing signs.
Those are great. I got to say, those are great.
The ones that tell you how fast
you're going.
Yep. Yeah, but there's a cost involved in those. And, you know, so you look at...
It might be cheaper than enforcement, though.
Cheaper than enforcement?
Sometimes that's all people need, right? As a quick reminder.
Yeah, they got to...
You know?
A lot of times you're cruising along, you don't know,
mm-hmm.
really, or you're thinking
like,
about
whoa, I didn't
going
think
to
I was
work or
fast.
Whatever it is, and then all of a sudden the lights flash and, you know...
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate your call.
Have a great night.
Yep.
You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. This is our third annual Radiothon, by the way, for Northumberland 89.7. This is our big fundraiser of the year. And we are trying to raise $15,000 between October 11th, which was yesterday when we started this event, right through to the 15th. There will be hourly prizes. All you have to do is listen live. You can give us a call. Sign on to our website. Make a bid on some of our wonderful silent auction items. You can also follow us on Facebook, Northumberland 897, and at Twitter, Northumberland 897. I'm Dave Glover. We'll be right back after the break.
The difference is in the listening. Northumberland 89.7 features unique programs and a great variety of music you won't hear anywhere else. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Deep within the Northumberland Forest, there is a secret created by the spring-fed wells of Mill Valley and bottled by Oak Ridge Springs. Mill Valley is sodium-free and rich in naturally occurring electrolytes and perfectly balanced pH. Visit Oak Ridge Springs at 6191 County Road 45 for water in various sizes. They also carry cases and ice. Call 289-251-5579. Water the way nature intended.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. The Cobourg Glacier Lions Club presents the second annual Poker Run Car Rally. October the 15th, the Cobourg Glacier Lions Club, they're holding their second annual Poker Car Run Rally in Scavenger Hunt. It all begins at 10 a.m. right outside the Oddfellows Hall at 412 Victoria Street in Cobourg. This year's rally will wind its way through the beautiful Northumberland Hills before it ends back at the starting point. The Cobourg Lakeshore Lions Club wish to thank their sponsors, located at 105 University. It's Rush Check, Speedy Glass, LL Lou. We'll see you there.
Northumberland 89.7 is hosting our third annual Radiothon fundraiser, October 11th to 15th. Our goal this year is to raise $15,000. We have some amazing items in our silent auction for you to bid on. Here's just one of them.
Silent auction package number 19 is for a premium cleaning and detailing service for your car. It includes hand washing the exterior, interior cleaning, power washing the wheels and undercarriage, lubrication of locks and hinges, and much more. This item has been generously donated by Vandermeer Toyota's Scion in Cobourg. At Elgin and Division Street, Vandermeer is your choice for great deals on new and used Toyota and Scion products. If you want this item, place your bid on auction package number 19. with a minimum bid of $25.
To bid on this and to see all the silent auction items, go to northumberland897.ca and click on the link. Help Northumberland897 to continue to be truly local radio. The birds are tweeting, and so are we. Follow us on Twitter at trulylocal897.
Well, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks to Ed for that great call, by the way. And we are taking your calls for the next 20 minutes anyway, as we continue our conversation with John Davidson and Vince. John and Vince from the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township. You guys are the face and the voice anyway, as far as the radio audience is concerned. Other issues related here. Let's talk about this, shall we? The Hamilton Township's first local government day. That's right. It's coming up. It's Tuesday, October 18th from 12 noon till 5 p.m. The regular council session commences at 1 p.m. It's going to take place at the Baltimore Recreation Center at 23 Community Center Road in Baltimore, Ontario. Now, Hamilton Township is formally celebrating Local Government Week on October 18th, 2016. The event presents an opportunity for residents to get to know their local government and in ways and engage citizens about the work that goes on at the township. Come on out, enter your name in various draws. There's going to be some great giveaways there, folks. There'll also be public works equipment there just on display, some fire services demonstrations, parks and rec programs and services, heritage displays, and much, much more. We will be hosting a regular council meeting at 1 p.m. And, of course, they're looking forward to talking to you residents about township projects, programs, and services, as well as township issues. And, of course, this is a great opportunity for people to talk to their council. We're not saying you got to get in their face, but it sounds to me like we're definitely going to have to start lighting the fire.
It's a positive thing.
It is.
You know, it's the key word here, first local government day. It's never happened before, so that's good. And I really do hope that the 4,500 households, you know, one or two or numbers of folks show up to this, because it's going to be an informative session.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was interested in talking to you about the budget process that's coming up. I know that we're getting into that season where drafts are starting to be put together. I'm wondering what's going on from your perspective.
Sure.
I believe right now, Rob, the county has already been in the process of working on their budget, and I think it'll be presented in probably December of this year. Hamilton Township, I have not heard anything whether they're working on the budget or the budget process is way late, or I don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. There's been no communication whatsoever. There's been no sessions where they say they're going to open it up to the public. We haven't heard anything from them on that issue whatsoever, so we're in the dark.
We have Donna Cole on the line. Donna, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, actually.
Good. I was just listening along, actually. I think John preempted me. I was going to ask, I saw John yesterday at the council meeting, mm-hmm. and I knew as of that point we hadn't heard anything back. I knew our group had requested to have public input into the budget process this year, and my understanding was that we thought we may get some, mm-hmm. and I wondered if today John had heard anything from the municipal council about budget setting dates. I know Coburg had invited the Coburg Taxpayers Association to meetings today to have mm-hmm. input into their budget.
Right.
So I was just hoping maybe we'd heard something today that John could elaborate on, and that, yes, we would be able to have some input. I know last year many of us gave input, but there was nothing, no feedback, and nothing changed. And I just wondered if John was going to elaborate mm-hmm. on any of that.
Well, I as you're asking, John's he's giving me that, you know, deer in a headlight stare. That nothing. We're
obviously
getting nothing.
Nothing's been done. Yeah, no one's contacted him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a concern, because I think we were left with the impression that they did want to have an open communication with mm-hmm. with the ratepayers and understand their concerns before they did set the budgets, and hope that we would be included in
right.
some of those decision-making process.
Well, it sounds to me that other than the impression, though, there really hasn't been anything else.
One of the key factors from last year's question period, too, was let's do this sooner than later, not mm-hmm. I think it was April or May by the time they got to it. So Northumberland County is already in the midst of doing their budget, I believe, so you know, we should be a part of that process right now.
Well, I did notice yesterday they were talking about the strategic plan, and they did say they were in budget making meetings at this point. They are starting to Mr. Anderson mentioned that department heads were to be giving in their information and it sounded like they were already started into the budget setting process, and I'm not sure what, you know, mm-hmm. what stage that they're in.
I'm curious, John.
Thanks, Donna.
Thank you.
We were talking about the strategic plan. Is there anything in the plan that talks about public engagement?
Yes, there is. They've mentioned that through the budgetary process, how they're going to have the public come forward and voice their concerns or have interaction with the so-called committee or whomever is on the committee. Mm-hmm. It's mentioned in there. But so far, nothing has occurred at our end where, mm-hmm. where they haven't contacted us to say, okay, we're going to have this, or they haven't opened it up to the public through the website saying, we now have open sessions for the public to come forward. Now, going back, County Council has, through their plans mm-hmm. And through their process, because of this cost-sharing initiatives they put out to all seven mm-hmm. municipalities mm-hmm. In Northumberland County, they'd like to have all budgets completed and finalized by December of this year mm-hmm. for every municipality. So therefore, if you want to go out and buy four trucks and we have to buy four trucks and they have to have four trucks, they can now join that RFP together and say, okay, we need at least 12 trucks here altogether and mm-hmm. get a better deal. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's looking. The CEO mentioned the fact that they finally got together with the county and they're going to purchase sand together. Mm-hmm. I think that's an ongoing process. That's been sure. going on for years. There's nothing new. He just made it sound like it's all flowery and fluffy. It's been going on for years. We've been yeah. purchasing together. But this has to happen. And the processes have to involve the public. You can't leave the public mm-hmm. out of this. It's their money. If they don't like something that's going to be purchased, we should have a voice or opinion saying, no, put a stop to that. If new trucks are every year, a new truck here, a new truck there. Why do these people need new trucks? I don't buy a new truck every year. I can't afford it.
But the plan that we're talking about, when you say this is in the plan, this is the plan that was passed the other night, just earlier this week, that council, it actually has a section that talks about public engagement. Can you refer to it? Can you tell us what sorts of things are in there that, in regards to public engagement? What did they say? What did they approve?
They want to be more open and transparent with the public. And that's dealing with parks and recreation. I believe there's a Butterfield Park is getting new playground equipment. I believe the Baltimore Recreation Center is getting new equipment. Mm-hmm. And they're going to engage the public to say, okay, what would you like to have in the park? Therefore, that cost, they have a certain cost there. Mm-hmm. And the people have to say, okay, we can't afford that slide. We'll settle for another swing set. This type of thing. Mm-hmm. The budgetary process, same thing. The waterfront, they want to mm-hmm. have more public input for the waterfronts. So they're kind of opening the doors, but they're not opening up fully. There should be full engagement from the public on mm-hmm. every issue that goes on into Hamilton Township. I'm not saying we have to interfere with their business of Hamilton Township. We're just saying we want to have input to maybe how our money is being spent.
Well, and it sounds to me like the government's saying the right things in terms of wanting public engagement. When it actually comes down to getting that public engagement, they haven't been exactly open to that public engagement. The meeting of this week is a great example, where I guess it was just a report from staff. And ultimately, it was an opportunity for them to come out and say, here's what we've done, and we're not taking any questions and really no feedback. So
bottom line,
that's not engagement.
There has to be a better process.
Right.
And it should be a standardized process that takes place on every issue and every concern that's brought forward to the township. And then that way there's no secrets, there's no hidden agenda, mm-hmm. it's all above board, open, transparent, integral decisions being made, no favoritism, all that sort of thing.
Well, let's face it, if Cobourg can do it, if Port Hope can do it, because Port Hope's been on board with this type of engagement with their public for at least since the beginning of this term, mm-hmm. perhaps towards the end of the last term of council as well. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned during the break, I mean, there should be some synergy there. If you've got the two larger municipalities being able to do this, there really should be no reason on earth why the smaller municipalities can't do it, other than an unwillingness to do it. And as Pete Fisher always says, and I it's education through communication. If you're doing something, if you want the public on board, then you need to bring them on board. By keeping people away, by putting up roadblocks, by just issuing releases and not engaging the public.
Or not issuing any releases.
Or not issuing any releases, as you say. I mean, there's really been nothing done on this since June of 2015. It's time for them to, in the words of my father, you know, shit or get off the pot here, and that's the reality. And I'd probably get in trouble for that, but I'm saying it anyway. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. My guests in the studio are John and Vince from the Citizens Council for Hamilton Township. It's Radiothon time, folks. Give us a call. Drop by our website. Make a donation. We're looking to raise $15,000 this year. It may not sound like a lot of money, but it is a lot of money for us. It's a lot of money we need to upgrade some of our equipment and also to ensure that we have no interruption in services for all of the great shows that we bring to you each and every day, 7 days a week. By the way, we are one of the only stations locally that actually has live bodies in the studio 7 days a week. So that is something to be extremely happy about. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up and we'll close it out This has been Consider This. I'm Dave Glover. With me, Rob Washburn. We'll be right back.
Judy will be celebrating 1 year at This, That, and the Other on October the 22nd. They carry vintage furniture, unique decorative finds, framed artwork, and collectibles. Judy also does workshops showcasing fusion mineral paint and interesting stencils. Call Judy to get in on the next workshop. It's fun and easy and looks so creative. Our inventory is constantly changing with new, old stuff. Come to Coburg. We'll sell you something you didn't even know you needed. This, That, and the Other, 9 King Street East, Coburg, 289-252-2111.
Northumberland 89.7 is hosting our third annual Radiothon fundraiser, October 11th to 15th. Our goal this year is to raise $15,000. We have some amazing items in our silent auction for you to bid on. Here's just one of them.
Silent auction package number 26 is a framed print of Blue Coco, an artwork by the world-renowned portrait artist Sean Downey. This is a limited edition print in giclée, number 49 of 50, 17 inch by 20 inch. The original received a BP Portrait Museum Award in 2010 and sold for $25,000. This print has been generously donated to our auction by the Engine Gallery and by Stephen Schwartz. Framing has been done by Oliver Stein at Ganaraska Art and Framing. If you want this item, put your bid on package number 26.
To bid on this and to see all the silent auction items, go to Northumberland897.ca and click on the link. Help Northumberland 897 to continue to be truly local radio. Northumberland 89.7 is run by volunteers. If you like radio and want to learn more, come and volunteer with us.
And welcome back as we wrap it up here with John Davidson and Vince. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you guys how important Northumberland 89.7 has been for you and your organization in helping to get the message out for what you represent.
I think it's a very good initiative that we have come forward and been on your programs. 89.7 FM is people are tuning into it now. They're tuning into us, I guess.
They're tuning into you,
and they're asking questions, and there's feedback, and it's good because this is something that we can get on the air and have an open mic conversation. We don't have to hide behind our closed doors and have conversations that people don't know what we're talking about. Let's get it out in the open. We have in our membership, we have our websites available. Everything's there for them to do, but this is another step in the right direction of openness and transparency on our behalf of getting on the radio station, and we thank you very much for this, for your program and bringing us on the air.
Well, that's kind of what we've always been about, right, Rob? Really, it is radio for the people of Northumberland, by the people of Northumberland, and that's why we're here. Glad that we could help you guys get your message out there. Is there anything coming up in the next few days or so that maybe you want to get people to head on out to?
October 17th, next Monday night, 7 o'clock at the Gore's Landing Hall. The Oak Ridges Marine Land Trust, the executive director out of TO, Susan Walmer, is going to be our guest speaker. She's on tap for about an hour conversation regarding the Oak Ridges Marine in this particular area. It should be a very, very good turnout. If you have any questions or issues, you're welcome to come out to the meeting and maybe sign up, give us a membership, and at the very least, you're going to walk away with some contact information and opportunity to follow up with the appropriate people.
And, of course, you can always follow what's happening with the Citizens Coalition of Hamilton Township by going to their website at cchamiltontownshiptwp.com. And they're always looking for more members to join up with their cause. Their cause is your cause, the Citizens of Hamilton Township. Rob, I want to thank you for being here again.
Thanks so much, Dave.
And as I say, you know, Northumberland 89.7 is it's our home for just honest and frank conversation. It's your home, too, for great local entertainment. And if you are enjoying what we do here at Northumberland 89.7, please sign on to the website. Go on over to northumberland897.ca. Follow the links. Check out our live auction, our silent auction, rather, all the items we have there, some wonderful items for you to bid on. And also, you can go to the donate button. Just click on the donate button, make a donation through PayPal or through your avenue of choice. And we have several options available to you. I'm Dave Glover. You've been listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. Folks, we don't write the world for you here at Truly Local Radio, but we do read it. Here is Neil Young and Harvest Moon for all the farmers out there. Thanks for listening.
I'm still in love with you. I wanna see you.